Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to the episode of From the Horse's Mouth that focuses on Saturday's racing at Cheltenham, day 2 of Paddy Power's open meeting, which is, of course, featuring the Paddy Power Gold Cup itself. I've got Ruby, I've got Rory. The two boys are looking ahead to all the action at Cheltenham. We will have a quick spin through Nace as well. Before I bring the lads in, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. Remember, every day at Cheltenham, all 3 days, 25 grand in the pot. All races at Cheltenham, we'll go through them all. The 145, 220, 255, 330 and 405. They're the races to concentrate on. And fingers crossed, we'll win it. Someone won it last week. Plenty of you won it. Now, Rory, Ruby, welcome to the show. Rory DeLargy, did you see Twitter videos of John Bonn winning the Arkle the other day?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. That was what Paddy Power thought anyway, because Paddy Power paid out on John Bond winning the Arkle after Nicky Henderson. Or, well, it wasn't Nicky Henderson, was it, who posted the video?
David Cross, I think, who posted the
Cross. Yeah. Fair play to him. I hope he's still allowed down there. he looked good. Do you think he's going to win an Arkle off the basis of that video?
It's hard to see him beaten after that. That jump at the second fence. Very clever.
Ruby did say in the National Hunt preview tour, we did, Ruby, with Frank, he said there are 13 fences, I think, on the two-mile track, while only 8 hurdles. So we saw enough there to say he's going to win an Arkle, right?
Which doesn't matter, PK. If you back the Mantipost, you're paid, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. If you had a bet prior to 10 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, you got paid out in winter. By the way, Ruby, where
JP
are you?
JP will be kicking himself, won't he?
Dick Cut Parkway.
Sorry, where are you again? Where are you?
Dick Cut.
Okay, so Ruby's on the train. It's a Great Western Railway service. And he's on the Great Western Railway train, by the way, folks, in case you can't hear in the background. He's heading from...
All the way to Cheltenham Spa.
All the way to Cheltenham Spa. That's right, Rory. It's a train journey you've done a few times from London
to
Cheltenham.
Yeah.
First class like Ruby?
I've done a first class once. Okay. Used to do on a Sunday, you could pay a tenner to upgrade it to first class. Ooh. Otherwise, it's about 150 quid extra. So for a tenner, you think, I should do, shouldn't I? They're nice seats. Nice seats in first class.
Is that it? Is that the only difference? Yeah. Nice seats? You don't get champagne or anything?
You don't, no. No. There are some train companies where first class is just exactly the same as cattle class, only it says first class on the carriage. But the Great Western trains, plenty of carriages, lots of room. While everyone else down the other end is packed in like sardines.
Yeah, Ruby, throw the riffraffs and peanuts down there, will you? Or give them a few boxes of Pringles or something like that. How are you finding first class, Ruby? Is good?
I'm on a train, PK.
Most Ruby Walsh answer of all time. We are going to do our own version of Michael Portillo's train journeys across, at least from London to Cheltenham. Stay tuned for that one, folks. That is going to be good. Let's talk winners. Let's go to Cheltenham, folks. We're going to go through every race on the Saturday, not just the ITV stuff, starting with the juvenile trial, the JCB juvenile trial. Now, this race drew off at 1:10. We're operating without prices, but I just wanted to get a heads up on it. That's 12:35. Possibly Blue King Daru is going to make the market here for Paul Nicholls and Harry Copps. I'll go straight to you, Rory, for this race. It's a tricky race, obviously, with we haven't seen a huge amount of these, but we have seen most of them.
Yeah, we've got a degree of form in there. It's never easy to pin down juvenile form too early. And Blue King Daru is the tricky one because he's had 3 runs in France, made his debut in the middle of March, as a lot of these French juveniles do. Which is why your Triumph hurdle is not a novice hurdle, because most of the French horses wouldn't qualify for it if it was. It's just a juvenile championship event. And he's shown a fairly decent level of form. He's not, based on the time form figures, he's not progressed an awful lot from his debut. And all his form has been on soft or heavy ground. So the chances are that it's going to be closer to good at Cheltenham on Saturday, touching wood. And I thought under those conditions, I would make Mr. Freedom a fairly short price favourite. I know it's a biggish field and he's not particularly fashionably trained, but this is a very good winning system that Sheena West discovered quite a fair few years ago. Getting horses off Mick Shannon, particularly those sired by 60s Icon, of which Mick has plenty for good reason. And Mr. Freedom... has immediately made a decent impact. He was tried at only up to a mile on the flat for Mick Shannon. He improved a bit starting out for Sheena, stepped up and trip, and he's been progressive over hurdles so far. He's won little events at Fontwell twice and Plumpton, but he would have absolutely bolted up in the Wensleydale juvenile hurdle at Wetherby last time, but for being essentially forced out at the second last hurdle. The winner that day reopposes. The first two from that race reoppose. Medjaf won the race, but Medjaf came across to his left coming into the second last, squeezing up the horse on his inside. Chuddenham Green, who was second that day, and on the inside of both of them, Mark Goldstein had made the error, if you like, of trying to challenge on the inside. He travelled really well through that race, and if he challenged on the outer, he'd have won by 10 lengths, I think. But he's come up the inside travelling really strongly, but because the two of them have shifted across a little bit, he's got squeezed up close to the wing of the hurdle and ducked out. I wouldn't blame him for that. I think most horses in that scenario would probably do the same thing. Mark Goldstein tried to get him back inside, but unfortunately, if they're heading that way in the first place and you're trying to lean in to get them back on course, they're just as likely to go against you, and he got unseated in that scenario. I was quite pleased to see that he carried on going, Mr. Freedom, and passed the winner riderless on the run-in. I think he'll show that he would have won that race well. He's obviously five pounds better off, rather, with Medjaf, and meets the runner-up on the same terms. For me, he was travelling much the best that day. He jumped very neatly and accurately up until that point. Looks like he just loves his hurdling. I would have thought there'd be horses who'll come along in a month or two's time who will, you know, leave the form that he's shown behind. But I think he sets a decent standard for a race of this nature at this time of year, and I think it'd be hard to beat.
That's really interesting, because on a couple of tissues I've seen, he's certainly not going to be favoured. But we'll see, Mr. Freedom, what kind of price he is, Roy, with him. Ruby, your thoughts, Michael Palin, your thoughts on the opener.
Cheers, PK. Okay. I actually like a horse of Milton Harris. It's called Scriptwriter. He was a highly rated horse in the flat for Aidan O'Brien. His last run was in Leopardstown in April behind Piz Badil. But look, let the flat handicapper be £15 wrong, and Scriptwriter would still be rated in the high 80s, 87. I think that kind of flat form would do to this race. You know, Money's only started over hurdles at Sedgefield when he beat my brother Jack. So Milton Harris and Paddy Brennan did a great season last year with the likes of Knight Salute. I think Scriptwriter could be there in Knight Salute this year.
Lovely. All right, Scriptwriter for more of a kind of a Neil Armstrong vibe coming from Ruby now. It sounds like he's coming from the moon at this stage. But anyway, we'll crack on this wonderful train journey. And moving on to the Amateur Jockeys Handicap Chase, which is over 3 miles in a furlongs. Race number two, due off at 1:10. Again, no prices as we record, because this race not on ITV. But some very interesting runners. Again, probably Bob Hope or No Hope. Val Sheeda, Brave Way. They're going to be towards the top of the market. Ruby, any thoughts? I'll get you to unmute and give us the winner of this one.
Get you a mutant on first, PK. I actually think the horse of Venetia Williams has a chance here, called Dodero Vallis. Lucy Turner writes, he was trained with Willie Mullins at one stage. He's been with Venetia for a while. He was third in the Kim Euro, the Cheltenham Festival, behind Sean Barr. Not beaten all that far. He likes niceish ground. Venetia's horse is probably, you know, haven't been flying, but she takes a little time to warm up. But I think Dodero Vallis could be worth following.
Okay, right. So another win for a British trainer, Cheltenham. Oh, this is not the norm, given that we do have Gordon Elliott, Henry de Bromhead, Gavin Cromwell, all represented here. Rory, your thoughts?
I'm going to side with a local one here as well. I initially thought Val Sheeda was very interesting, and I think Val Sheeda will be a reasonably short price for this, because he's got that kind of profile. He's had three runs over fences, started favourite for each of them, and was a cosy winner of his most recent start at Fosse Last. He only won by a length that day, but having been headed at the last, he quickened again to get himself to the front and looked to be idling at Fosse Last. And I think the handicapper, on the face of that, has been quite kind, just raising him £4. Beat a horse called JT of Ian Williamson's, who looks like the type to do quite well over fences. But I watched that race back from the start, and I wasn't enormously impressed, to say the least, with Valshida's jumping that day. And I think he might get himself found out in a big field here. Clearly, he's unexposed, and he's potentially very well handicapped at 1:29. But this will, there'll be no prisoners taken here. And if he makes early mistakes, and obviously he fell on debut, he was scrappy at Fosse Last, despite the small field there. That might as well have been a two-horse race, to be perfectly honest, because the second favourite didn't really travel. And the Paul Nicholls horse in that race ran an absolute stinker in its chase debut. So you could be a little bit worried about the form with only one horse to beat at Fosse Lass. As I said, in handicapping terms, I've got no problem with Alshida, but I do worry about his jumping. So I'm looking for something who will jump a little bit better and handle this track. And I thought Castle Robin was a blindingly obvious one. He's got plenty of weight in his back, Castle Robin. But jumping and ability to handle the track count for an awful lot at Cheltenham. Staying out of trouble towards the head of the field in handicap chases also tends to be more beneficial here than it is at some other tracks. And Castle Robin, he was a winner on this card a couple of years ago. I think he won the Conditional Jockeys Handicap Hurdle. He's taken well to fences. His jumping's been pretty good. He doesn't want soft ground. His best form is on good or good to soft. And he should get his conditions this time around. He was just a fair fourth on his return to action at Kelso. He was reasonably well fancied that day. You'd want to come on a little bit for that run. But it's interesting, Charlie Longston put some cheek pieces on him after that effort. And although his wins last season came in small fields at Doncaster and Wetherby, he was a winner of a 17-runner handicap hurdle here a couple of seasons ago. So big fields don't bother him. His jumping's absolutely fine. And in Zach Baker, he's got a jockey who knows his way around here. So I thought he was pretty solid.
Yeah, looks a nice type there. Castle Robin, Zach Baker, as you said, on board Ruby going with the Venetia Williams trained, former Willie Mullins trained Didero Vallis. Right, let's move on to the ITV races. Aptly enough, we're going to kick off with the ITV races with the From the Horses and Mouth podcast, Arkle Trial. This is a grade two, so we better get the winner here, lads. Monmorel's the 2-1 favourite as we record on Thursday afternoon. 3-1 Tommy's Oscar. Banbridge, who had options, could have run on the Friday in a handicap. They decided to go for this, 7-2. 9-2 Pentland Hills. Cracking chase debut from him if you want to watch that one on online. And Glory and Fortune was 9-1. All right, go back to you, Rory, for the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, Arkle Trial. Nice mouthful. Give us a winner.
I kind of wish this was just 2.5 miles, but it wouldn't be an Arkle Trial if it was. I think Banbridge will be the best of these over 2.5, and maybe even further. He was an impressive winner of the Martin Pipe at the festival. I watched that race, stood next to Brendan Powell, who said, this is going to be an absolutely top-class steeplechaser next season. And I made sure I caught him on debut at Goran. I thought he was terrific that day. Jumped really well, just looked a total professional. He's going to be a better horse over hurdles than he was fences. He was well beaten over 3 miles at Aintree last season, but I'm not necessarily, I wouldn't swear that the trip beat him that day. He just didn't seem to be in the same sort of form. I really like him, but 2 miles at Cheltenham against the opposition that he meets on Saturday might just be a little bit on the sharp side for him. And that puts me in a bit of a quandary. I don't want to be dead against him. But I think Connections will be pretty happy if he finishes second here. I'm not absolutely sold on Monmorel, and I'm not entirely sure how they're going to ride him because he was held up at Aintree. He obviously travels strongly in his races, but he was left behind late in the day to be beaten 14 lengths by Epitant on his last start. He travelled really well at Fontwell prior to that and then cut out quite badly. And he's a horse who's always had a massive reputation, but his finishing effort doesn't always impress, and he doesn't strike me particularly as a Cheltenham horse. So I thought maybe Tommy's Oscar might be the one to beat in the race. He was a wee bit disappointing in the champion hurdle, but he's an absolute star otherwise. I thought he jumped really well in his chase debut. And the thing to bear in mind with that, of course, he wasn't just running in a standard novice chase. He was running in a novice handicap. And the horse he beat, Jeremino, was very well back to beat him that day to the extent that he started odds on favourite, and Tommy's Oscar ended up going off 11-8. But I thought he jumped really well at Carlisle, as he should do. He had a fair bit of experience in Irish points without being ready to win in that sort of sphere. He took a fair few runs to get off the mark eventually, but he showed himself to be a much better horse for joining his current yard. So I think his jumping would be fine. I think at this trip, he just takes the beating. It's one of those races that I'm not mad to get hugely involved because I really like Banbridge. But I do feel that 2 miles might just be on the sharp side and Tommy's Oscar might just have the beating off him at the minimum.
Yeah, I can tell from your voice you're really struggling with the Banbridge. You don't want to see him win, but yeah, well, you obviously fancy him as a good horse, but you're it'd be tough if he wins now and you'd let
him
alone.
It'll be mixed emotions.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair enough. Ruby, Monmorel favourite for the race, has never been seen over fences in public, but from Paul Nicholls, we know he'll be well schooled. But this is a tough race to win on chase debut.
It is, yeah, he has been well schooled, but the reports are that he's quite low, very brave, and They're not entirely convinced about his jumping PK from what I'm hearing. He's a good horse. Paul thinks a lot of his horses are better this year than they were last year, and that's been borne out in the results so far this season. But I'd be with Rory here. I think in this race on Saturday, possibly the most likely winner. I thought he was good, like Rory did in Carlisle. I thought if Danny McMillan stayed on the other side of Brian Hughes, he would have won really impressively. But I'm a huge Banbridge fan as well. And I, like Rory, was taken by him in Corran Park, and there's a lot of jumping here, PK, in a 2 mile race. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes all of these go. You have Soul Pretender in there as well, who's going to go a good gallop. So I wouldn't be surprised if Banbridge maybe outstays them all ultimately. It's a race like Rory. I find it hard to pick the winner. Tommy's Oscar possibly, but I won't follow the ITV truck if Banbridge wins.
Right. Okay. So Ruby's going under a few bridges there, but it does sound like, you know, same thing there with avoiding Momrel, Banbridge to run well, but Tommy's Oscar, if you're going to have a bet, probably the one as far as today is concerned. I'm getting the thumbs up from Michael Palin, so I'm happy with that. Right, so as he sits back in, gets another glass of champagne there, we're going to look ahead to the big one of the weekend. It is the Paddy Power Gold Cup. So many good memories, by the way. Lovely video, by the way, on Paddy Power Social of Ruby from his fond memories of the race, riding Alpha off to win, and Frank Hickey telling us that Imperial Commander was well in. 1.39, would you believe, Rory, was his rating, Imperial Commander, when he won the Paddy Power Gold Cup. 1.39.
That looks quite good now. But of course, the horse that finished second was Miles. What was it? You go Barbershop. Back and look at the Barbershop was I think was getting weight from him that day, and he was clearly ahead of his mark, yeah. As well. So if you backed anything else in the race, you were up against it with those two.
Absolutely.
That was a cracking race.
That was a good renewal. Or I've seen so many good renewals of this. One of the talking horses going into it, Ruby, for the last kind of couple of weeks has been French Dynamite. He makes the market at 9-2 for Mouse Morris. GA Lore, Galore 5-1, 6-1 Stolen Silver. Sam Thomas, we keep talking about Sam Thomas in these Saturday previews. Il Redoto 8-1 and Galahad Quest as nines. Let's start with French Dynamite, Ruby. It seems like this has been the plan.
It has. Mouse Morris was talking about that in Turles when he beat Bally Shannon Rose in a hurdle race down there. Look, he ticks a lot of boxes for me, PK. He has the pace to win over 2 miles and two at Turles. He beat CL Dinesh by a nose. He had the stamina to beat Bally Shannon Rose at Turles over 2 miles and seven furlongs. And he has a brilliant run at Punchestown behind Al Barra. In second place that day was Busselton, who's won the Kerry National. Fourth was Van de Blue, who's won a competitive handicap chase in Cork. Fifth was Gabby Nacko, who's won the Galway Blazers. I think that's an outstanding run. He's a second season novice. He has pace and stamina. He takes every box for me. Gallo, great run in the old Roan, but that was after a massive layoff. He has to hope he doesn't bounce. Stolen Silver got a penalty for winning a weak race at Cheltenham here in April. And outside of that, Il Redoto, stamina is a concern. Midnight River, he's in and out of the weather. Galahad Quest, a six-year-old, but I'm not so sure. And I think after that, there's a lot of dead wood. Be interested to see what Rory thinks.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't, when I looked at the entries a midweek, I thought it wasn't as deep a race as I've seen, and it was easy, I thought, a dangerous thing to say, to rule out about half the field for various reasons, either weight, class, or grounds. Plenty of these are high enough in the weights and what they've done, and a few of those down at the bottom, I kind of look for one low down in the weights. I backed Dayran de Karjak in this last year, but I backed Dayran de Karjak when he ran at Weatherby the other day, and he has done what Dayran de Karjak does, travelled well, jumped well, looked sure to win by several lengths jumping the last fence, and somehow find a way to get beat. There's no worse track really for Dayran de Karjak than Cheltenham, because there's no way he comes up the hill. He's interestingly handicapped, but you know, Galahad Quest doesn't I don't think he's quite good enough for this. He's got course form, but I think he falls a little bit short of this. I've seen one or two people suggest Storm Control, but he doesn't have the speed for it. Slate House isn't quite the horse he was, and you're struggling there towards the bottom to find something that might be really well handicapped. Il Redoto is, I think, off 140, still well handicapped. But again, whether he's a Cheltenham horse, he's one of these. He's a horse who was very impressive at Newbury on a second start last season over 2 miles, but several times after that, he hasn't got home in his races. Now, he might be one of those horses from the Nichols Yard who will have strengthened up from last season and be that bit better. If he was able to see his races out as well as he travels in them, He'd be a really good horse, Il Ridotto. Maybe this is the time to catch him after wind surgery. But I feel if there was a really good, a 2 mile handicap chase with the same sort of cachet as this, they prefer to go for that. He should stay 2.5 on pedigree. He's traveled very well at 2.5. He did it air last year, but clearly didn't get home even on good ground. Good ground could well be the key to him, because it helps him get through his races. And he shaped quite well on the Grand Annual for a long way. But again, you have to worry about the hill with him. I share Ruby's concerns with Galore as well. Nasa Lam tempted me, but he's just going to jump left here as well. He jumped badly left at Ascot. And I thought, well, he's interesting at a big price because he'll go better at Cheltenham and he's got form around left-handed tracks. But you watch him jumping around Plumpton even. He jumps left at that tight left-handed track as well. So there's no advantage to you've got to jump straight at Cheltenham. If you're jumping to your left at these fences, you're going to find yourself in trouble at some stage. So that was off-putting for me. And again, there are a few I wouldn't massively want to touch. I ended up coming down.
Here we go.
I come down in Stolen Silver. I'd looked at Editor de Cheat as well. I think having the pace for 2 miles is very important in this race, you know, because racing at on this track at Cheltenham, it tends to suit horses who are able to lie up with the pace and jump well at pace. And they go 2 mile pace really in a race like this. And you've got to have a horse who won't be out of the comfort zone. There's no point having a 3 miler you think is going to stay on well late in the day. I've backed a few of those in this race. That's fine if they're 50-1 and you're hoping to pick up a place. But Stolen Silver has got form at over course and distance. He's got form over 2 miles. And he was second to Editor Jeet at this meeting last year. They've both gone up in the weight since then, but they both run very well since. And just reviewing that race, I thought if you made this a bit further, Stolen Silver would have caught Editor de Gide, who jumped really well, probably jumped better than Stolen Silver through the race, but was all out to hang on at the end. And up further in trip, this will suit Stolen Silver. Editor Jeep was interesting on his reappearance because they held him up that day. There are a few moans and groans about that because normally he's an out-and-out front runner. He was weak in the market and they held him up. I suspect they held him up because they had a view of coming to this race, stepping him up in trip and seeing whether holding him up would allow him to see his race out. And that seems to be borne out by the fact that he runs here rather than in the 2 mile handicap chase. But I wouldn't be massively keen on him being held up in a big field. I think, you know, he showed his best form when able to dominate this field and put others under pressure jumping wise. And if they hold him up here, he loses a little bit of that that advantage. So Stolen Silver will sit just behind the pace here. He can lead, he has done in the past, but he tends to track the pace. Sam Thomas, again, has shown signs already this season that he's going to have a good year. He's a trainer I've got plenty of time for. He ticks all the boxes here. He's a seven-year-old. He's high enough in the weights, but there aren't that many below 11 stone you'd be that keen on. So I'd throw that out the window. And he looks like he's capable of better. Got form over course and distance. He looks very solid in a race where not that many do for me. And Stolen Silver should certainly be in the frame.
All right. So another vote for Sam Thomas horse is getting we're getting a few of these now. But to be fair, you said he's going well in nice double on a couple of Saturdays ago, didn't he, at Aintree and beyond. 255, that was the Paddy Power Gold Cup. A couple of votes back to Ruby's selection. Ruby was on the Fav French Dynamite. Favourite as we record, and Rory gone for Stolen Silver. Paddy Power also sponsored the 255. It is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and it's open, as you'd expect. Favourite here is Shira, 100-30, 9-2 annual Invictus. Also 9-2 City Ismail for David Pipe, 7-1 Paddle Your Own Canoe. On the blind side, the old boy, I'd say he's old, but yeah, he's 10, 8-1, 10-1, and bigger the rest. All right, Rupert, give us the winner of this Paddy Power sponsor race, 255.
Funny, Shearer definitely has a chance, but I like City Ismail of David Pipes. Won well on his first run after a wind up at Worcester and only went up 5 pounds. It mightn't have been the greatest race in the world, but I thought he won really cosily. And I'm going to go with him. He has form over the trip, and I think he's back to the horse he was in the depths of winter, autumn winter last year. He went off the face of the earth in the spring, but I think he's back to that kind of horse after a wind up. I'm going to chance him.
We love a pipe winner at the Cheltenham November meeting. It doesn't get mentioned as much as it used to, does it, Rory? I know David obviously nowhere near as strong as Martin was in this meeting, but it's always still there in the background going, oh, he'll have one for it. But anyway, your thoughts, Rory?
Yeah, I liked one at a big price in this race because I didn't like too many at this. I can't see how Annual Invictus is second favourite for this. He's an absolute pig.
Oh,
And I don't really care what connections think of that. His horse, I like the look. He broke the track record here last season over 2.5 miles on his Chase debut. And then he managed to look like the slowest horse in the country on his next two starts, which is an interesting one. He just doesn't really fancy. He's got all the ability in the world, but he ran a stinker last time. He was third, beaten a couple of lengths at Plumpton last season, where he looked like he was going to be beaten 100 lengths the whole way around. Dropped the bridle, going to the first fence, and basically did not give his jockey any chance at all until he saw they were heading back to the stables, and then ran on from the second last fence and made up about 40 lengths on the front two, but still finished last of three. He is not a horse to trust at all, and I'm surprised to see him so short. Shearer's chances there for all to see. I think he's probably a little bit short, but you know, if you're sticking one on the play spot, he does make plenty of sense. I napped City Ishmael last time out, so I'm glad Ruby's gone with him, but I think he was great for that. He was in a weaker race than this. He was a big price. You could have backed him at 16-1 in the morning, where he's going to be 9-2 for this. Good to see him back in form. The wind surgery clearly worked. Different conditions here would be a slight concern for me. Paddle Your Own Canoe is well handicapped on the best of his form, but although he's only 8, he's had a lot of racing, and I think he might be on the downgrade. That is definitely true on the blind side, who's got plenty of back class again, but didn't look the same horse last season. And I ended up going down most of the field going, I don't really like you, until I came to Jatalui for David Maxwell and Philip Hobbs. Now, he won on this card 2 years ago, and I really liked him that day. I thought he showed a tremendous attitude in in the intermediate handicap hurdle, I think it was. And I thought he was potentially one to follow, but he ended up going up a long way in the weights that season. So when he went to, I think it ran in the Pertemps final, but he'd gone up to a mark of 148. And if you're an English trained horse of a mark of 148, you better be a grade one winner to win the Pertemps. He hasn't really looked a chaser, but he's still lightly raced. And I thought, having dropped 10 pounds in the weights, I thought he was liable to be straight for this meeting. I could be wrong about that, but the fact that they're bringing him straight here suggests that he'd be fit enough. I don't think he takes a lot of getting fit anyway, Jatalui. He's got a good attitude. David Maxwell gets on well with him. And I thought 20-1 was too big in a race where you can throw a few negatives at some of these. I was vaguely tempted by Liz Nagar Oscar with Robbie James claiming £7.
Me too. I think there's a race in him still.
He stands out on the pick of his form, but I thought I'll just check how Rebecca Curtis is doing. Ugly form figures recently. Now, it may well be that her best horses will buck that trend, but it's been tough going for Rebecca Curtis for a couple of seasons. I thought she was gonna get right back on track earlier this year. Her form in the summer was pretty good, but recently not so many good signs. He's an impossible horse to get a handle on because he's you know, when he won the Stayers Hurdle, he was a 40-1 poke or 50-1 poke, and he's sort of coming from nowhere there. He's got form of good ground and soft ground. He would look really well handicapped off a de facto mark of 135 if he bounced back. He'd be impossible to beat. But he's a very, very hard horse to get a handle on. So he was the other one I thought of. But I thought Jatalui, he's just more of a trier for you, yeah. I think.
Yeah, that's the number four in the guard, Jatalui. Ruby has gone with City Smiler. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Dave Piperunner. While you were talking there, Rory, you know the way we have a producer in this podcast, producer Mark, and he, you know, works really hard. All he's been doing essentially is putting in comments, oh, Ruby's ordering something. Ooh, Ruby, what's he going to order? Oh, 1 to 10, it's coffee. And Ruby, can you reveal what you have ordered on the train? Because Mark is very keen to find out.
Glass of water.
It looks a little bit, looks like different color to water. Like, it's got a hint of grape?
No, it doesn't have a hint of grape. So it doesn't. What race are we on, PK?
Right, fine, I'll move on. All right. Ruby is Ruby. We'll move on to the 3:30, which is another race sponsored by Paddy Power. This time it's the handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. And sitting on a train on the way to Cheltenham, Wise Guy is the favourite at 100-30. El Perfecta is 11-2. Time Flies By is 6-1. Mahan's Glory 7-1, as is Unanswered for Tony Martin. Very interesting runner. 15-2 then for Guernsey and 10's Bar. This race, or these handicap hurdles at this meeting, Ruby, we spoke on the pod earlier this week. Tony Martin, he could line one up over one of these, and a lot of people think Unanswered might be one of those.
Yeah, and I agree with them. Wise Guy didn't particularly impress me at Doncaster. El Perfecta beat Snugsborough Benny at Listowel. Snugsborough is nearly as old as me, PK. He's consistent, but he's not getting any younger. Time flies by. Didn't overly impress me at Fontwell, and that maybe brought me back to tie to unanswered to ball to the punch stand when they beat Montez back in May over hurdles. He had a couple of good runs on the fat thereafter, second twice at the Galway Festival, had a nice run at the Curragh on the 26th of October. This looks lined up to me, and I'll be following unanswered.
Lovely, lovely. In those familiar Breslin silks, unanswered for Tony Martin. Rory?
I have very little else to say about the race. I thought unanswered was nap material. And I'm not normally the kind of guy who follows Tony Martin in blind, but I thought his last run, I know it came on heavy ground at the Curragh, I thought it was a really eye-catching run. He stuck to the inside. The first three that day came wide of the far rail for the better ground, and he was ploughing a lone furrow towards the rail on ground that was very deep. He fared best of those who were sort of held up and on the inside. And he finished with more to give. He's really well bred. His dam was a Grade One winner in the States, and she was a useful mare in Europe. And he is a half brother to Answered, who was a group horse for Jim Bolger way back about 10 years ago, I suppose, maybe even more than that. Won the Trigo Stakes. So Unanswered just taken a long time to show what he's capable of. Started off at Dermot Weld. Didn't really fire, and it's taken a while for him to get the message for the switch to Tony Martin. So when he won first, he was winning off a basement mark, one of 46, I think, on the flat. And his handicap hurdle win came off 89. But those are just unrealistic figures for this horse now that he's hit his straps. His form has been really progressive. He looks straightforward. He handles quick grounds. He won on, was it Killarney? He won on good ground early in the season, was impressive, and he's obviously run really well on heavy ground last time out. Won't care what the weather's done. I think he goes off 6-4.
Hang on a second. It's 6-4.
I mean, the comparison between him and Wise Guy, there's no comparison between him and Wise Guy at all. Wise Guy, looks in, again, it's Nicky Henderson horse with form figures 1-3-1, totally unexposed going into handicap hurdle. But once you look at those races and see what he's done, you think, he's actually got a lot to find. Now, he may be transformed, and that's, you have a horse that came, he's well-bred with a top yard, a bit of intensive schooling, a little bit more time on their backs, and they can be transformed. But based on what he's done, Wise Guy looks a bad value favourite. That's, 137-2, 130, and unanswered. I don't see the 7-1 about unanswered. Last thing, I think he starts favourite on the day. Maybe not 6-4, but I think the problem is once money starts coming for a Tony Martin horse, you know, you can't stop it in the end. So I think he goes off short on the day, and I'd be keen to back him at a decent price before then.
Well, tough titties to you, Rory. When I tweet about this particular episode, I'm saying Rory thinks the 7-1 shot's going to go off 6-4.
That's fine.
Yeah, unanswered. Well, it gets the double vote from Ruby and Rory there. And as mentioned there, Ruby obviously was pretty keen up, but Rory extremely keen. Right, one more race to cover. It is the 4:05. Ruby took a little break. He went to the Jacks there, but he's back with us, which is great.
Kemble,
yeah.
Can you give us a good boozer in Kemble there, Rory? That you've
no.
There
you go.
There's not even much service.
It's in the backwater stretch now between Swindon and Gloucester.
Well, Ruby will be in and out of Kemble soon enough. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the bumper, because there is a Willie Mullins representative right down the bottom. Williamstown Dancer, Willie Mullins is sending over. Bryony Frost, a really eye-catching jockey booking as well. One on debut under Patrick, who's not riding this weekend for whatever, certainly not riding on Saturday, I should say, for whatever reason. Can he do the weight? 11 so, maybe good. Look, it's a listed mare's bumper, so there's loads of previous winners in here. But I suppose, Ruby, let's start with you. Williamstown Dancer.
Yeah, look, she did do it well, PK, on her debut at Punchestown. Kept going well. She's not a mare that shows a tremendous amount of speed at home, but she kept going well to beat a law of her own on that occasion. She's improved for the run. The Blacklock Lacing Syndicate owner, Brian Reiser, she's fit and well, but I think we've sent plenty of mares to this meeting in the past, and I'm not overly sure that our strike rate is as strong as Willie Mullins would like.
Is it a race that is mapped out, or is it one, a mare has won a race between, let's say, late September and late October, and you think, right, she qualifies, she's won a race, you may as well go get a bit of black type, that kind of thing?
I'd say so, and I would say she would be struggling to beat Lucia of Nicky Henderson's, who beat Ava by 17. I'm not sure Williamstown's dancer would beat Ava Grace that far.
I tell you, we're not going to Kemble, is the one thing. If we're looking for a good internet, Rory, we're not going to go to Kemble. But Ruby did give a good shout to Lucia there.
The scenery is quite nice there between Kemble and Stroud, but you know, Wi-Fi is not so good.
Everyone loves a bit of Stroud. By the way, there's a horse called Chautauqua in this race. If for those who know your Australian racing, it's a different Chautauqua to the one that was winning, mopping up grade ones down there. Rory, your thoughts on this mare's bumper?
Yeah, Lucia sets the standard, but I'd be slightly concerned. Well, not massively concerned, but I think she's marginally flattered by the rating she gets because it was on soft ground at Sandown and she stayed really well that day. That was an impressive performance in a listed bumper, well-contested listed bumper, where she had Mullenbeg beaten, 28 lengths or something behind her that day. Whereas Mullenbeg at similar weights was only 10 lengths behind Queen's Gamble on her next start at Cheltenham in April. But I think Queen's Gamble is the better filly of the two in these conditions. She was massively impressive to win on debut that day by 10 lengths. And I'll grant you, Lucia won by further and on the ratings, therefore she should win this race. First of all, that was her second start, having won on debut at Warwick. And you've got to bear in mind that these fillies are going to improve from one run to another. And secondly, the soft ground, I don't think particularly suited Mullenbeg in a well-run race at Sandown. She's a speedy filly to be running in bumpers. And I don't think, she clearly didn't get home at Sandown. I know she won on softish ground on debut. That was at Ludlow against inferior opposition. And then it was just on the soft side of Goob when she won at Cheltenham, the listed race in January. So I think that's a misleading form line, or marginally misleading. I'm not suggesting that Lucia's wouldn't beat Mullenbeg in normal circumstances. I think she's clearly quite exciting, but she would have made more appeal on softer ground. I think on good ground, Queen's Gamble should be favourite for this. It'd be interesting to see what the market does, because I'm looking at time form figures, it's £11 between them, but rating bumper horses is a very dangerous business. There's not an awful lot of evidence to go on, and I wouldn't be nearly my colours to the mast with ratings. In terms of the impression they've made, Queen's Gamble won really nicely, travelled well the whole way, was sent around the outside of the field, not right on the hair rail. She wasn't gaining an advantage by racing on the faster ground, but she was getting educational rise from an educational ride rather from Johnny Burke. And her and Mullenbeg both travelled equally well into the race. But when she hit the hill, she really powered away. And to win by 10 lengths in a race that wasn't, you know, they didn't go a ridiculous gallop in that race, but to pull 10 lengths clear of Mullenbeg with no experience, I thought was a sign of a really, really good prospect. And I think she should be favourite for this. And if she's not, I should be backing her.
Okay, we'll keep a close eye when those prices come through, obviously on Friday evening, I should say. But keep an eye, that's the mare's bumper. That's Cheltenham done, lads. I'm sure you're delighted that when I sent the running order, I included a couple of all-weather races for you at Lingfield. Now, normally when I send that, I'm going, oh God, I'm going to get the guys to look at them. They're not bad races, these two. I must say, ITB action from Lingfield. You've got a couple of all-weather qualifiers, championship qualifiers, and the Irish could win both. Interestingly, Summer Gahan in the 235 is the favourite, 11-4 for David O'Mara. But you got Logo Hunter for Michael Brown. You've also got Harry's Bar for Aidan McGuinness at 4-1 and 7-1 respectively. Judicial is 6-1. All right, Ruby, we move from the jumps to Cheltenham to the flat action. You're on ITV this weekend, aren't you? I'll tell you what, Ruby's actually just parked himself under a bridge there. He's left Kemble and he's literally left the podcast as we speak. So Rory, you give your selection while Ruby comes back to us.
I thought it's a slightly dull one, and hopefully get a reasonable price. Judicial's run really well on this race three times, or he's a 10-year-old now, but he retains all his abilities. He showed when winning at Beverley in September. He's come from that race before to run really well here. He won the race 3 years ago, was then badly drawn, badly positioned when he was, I think, fifth the following season, and then ran an absolute cracker to be second last season. So although he's getting on a little bit, as long as Jim Crowley gets a handle on him, he's really well drawn here to get a pull through the race, because Tippy Toes in stall one is probably going to make the running in the early stages. Strong hands in install two, strong power rather, I should say, install two tends to miss the break. And that means the judicial should be able to slot immediately behind Tippy Toes and should get a really good pull into the race. There are a couple of Irish runners, as you said, in Harry's Bar and Logo Hunter, who've got very good chances on Dundalk form, although I'm slightly concerned that Logo Hunter is better at five than six. And Harry's Bar was a bit disappointing behind Logo Hunter in a race won by Menachan at Dundalk last time at the Mercury Stakes. I just think, although they've got chances on paper, I think Judicial gets a lovely, lovely run through here. And given that he's proven he likes this race and is well suited by the way it tends to pan out, I think he will run well again to hit the frame for the third time.
Ruby's back. Unmute yourself and give us the winner of this, as you probably just caught the tail end there, Judicial for Rory. What are you thinking?
I think I was going under Cleve Hill, PK. I'm kind of disappointed that Rory hasn't gone for Summerhand. I was thinking back on a bit of quick ground. He's an all right draw. I feel down that he's deserted Summerhand.
I feel a little bit dirty about it as well, but you know, you got to let emotion out of the game. Listen, he's got a decent enough chance if they go hard here. But he will want them to go hard so he can pick his way through later on.
I'm deflated, PK. Rory's against Summerhand, so I've no tip.
That water, in inverted commas, is getting to you. It's putting you to sleep on the first-class journey. So nothing for Ruby in that, but hopefully it'll give us one in the Churchill Stakes. An intriguing runner here, folks. We mentioned on the Fridays with Fran podcast, which is already live, Bolshoi Ballet returns for the first time seen since running in Hong Kong last year. I'm sure always the plan to come back at Linkfield in the Churchill Stakes. 7-2 second favourite, Aidan O'Brien and Jamie Heffernan. Missed the cut as the favourite, though, for this race at 9-4. 6-1 Horovian for Jonathan Thady Gosden and Irish jockey James Doyle. 8-1 Algiers and Forest of Dean. And then it's 10-1 Bar. That was a joke about James Doyle. I know he's not Irish. Right, Ruby, give us a selection of this one.
I thought you were just making sure we were both still awake.
Thank you.
Missed the cut for me, and when I looked earlier at lunchtime, actually he was second favourite behind Bolshoi Ballet, and that really drew me to him. The market seems to have corrected itself. Look, maybe Bolshoi Ballet will go and win, PK, but I imagine he has a bigger target somewhere, and this has been used as a prep. I'd be against Bolshoi Ballet, and I would miss the cut.
Lovely stuff. Ruby, you're the only one threatening to fall asleep, so don't worry about that. Rory?
Similar, but the other way around. I ended up going with Bolshoi Ballet because he's not favourite for the race. And Mr. Cut is the one to beat if he's back to the form he showed when winning at Royal Ascot. He didn't run at all badly on his next start. He was fifth of six in the pre-Guillaume Dornano. That is good form because Al Hakim won that and then ran an absolute stormer in the arc. So he's got every chance if he's back to that form, but he's been off for 3 months as well. So if you're concerned about Bolshoi Ballet's absence from the track, you'd be concerned about missing the cut as well. I don't see them sticking blinkers on Bolshoi Ballet if they thought he needed the run. That'd be an odd one. If you thought the horse was just in need of a run to go somewhere else, sticking headgear on them is a slightly strange one. It's not an Aidan O'Brien-ish thing to do. So I suspect they'd like him to win this race before going on somewhere else. And He's got all the class in the world to do it. The one thing you'd be concerned about is a falsely run race, but you're not going to get that because Majestic Dawn is going to go hard from stall two. And that means it's going to be an unusual thing, a well-run race over a mile and a quarter at Linkfield. You don't tend to get them. And they can be very messy as a result, but this one shouldn't be. And I'm happy to take a chance on Bolshoi Ballet for all. We don't quite know where we stand with him, but he's still in training and he's still racing in these colours. And that tends to be a good sign.
I'd say he's still a colt. I didn't check, actually. I assume he is. Could be wrong.
Yes,
I'd say he probably is.
Yeah, he is.
Excellent. Okay, fair play to him. Lucky him. All right, so he's still a colt. Right, we're going to take the very quick break, and then Ruby's going to run through Nace, maybe a little bit from Rory as well. Then we'll get the best bets on Saturday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, Nace on Saturday is not a bad little card. Willie Mullins starting to throw a few horses out, Ruby Walsh. He's got two in the opening two maiden hurdles. Astro Diamond, the 11:50, and Ava Grace in the 12:20. Are we doubling them up?
I don't know about that, but he pitches Astro Diamond in against the geldings, PK, and I would have thought she was the better of the two. She was a good winner at Aintree. I rode her work myself, actually, on Tuesday morning. She worked quite well. She schooled well at home. So don't think it's the strongest maiden hurdle. I think she'll win anyway.
Lovely. And then the Ava Grace, she's had a couple of spins, so three runs so far without winning.
Yeah, a little bit hit and miss, was good early, and then I lost a little bit, was disappointed on her second start, ran well at Sandown and really testing ground. And then when she came back to Ireland, was no match for Doran Tweer or the Model Kingdom. The Model Kingdom got well beaten in Down Royal the other day. She could win PK, but I would be more confident about Ashra Diamond.
That's fine, that's fine. The Fishery Lane, we were kind of hoping we might have seen Boban here, but clearly, obviously not declared, which means it might be a three-horse war between Field Door, Prairie Dancer, and Brazil. Lunar Perez entered Dundalk on Friday, so I'm not sure if he's going to run, and Surviving Murmansk is just making up the field. Field Door, Ruby, has a penalty to carry in, and that brings Prairie Dancer and Brazil right into it, I would imagine.
It does. I don't think Vauban was even entered in the end.
Was he not?
Field Door, it does. But when I was looking at it this morning, I was thinking, oh, Perry Dancer, that was some run in the stall and he's got a hurdle run. But he won the handicap in the stall off a mark of 132. I think Field Door would do that with his mouth open as well. So I'm with Field Door here. I think he was a good bit better than these as a novice. And I think he'll beat Bob Prairie Dancer in Brazil.
Speaking of still entires, I think Brazil is still an entire.
He is, and so is something else.
Cougar is still an entire as well, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think
he is.
Brazil, fair training,
I think Cougar is as well, yeah.
I'm going to move on unless Rory interject if you've got any thoughts on the action at Mace.
Nothing worth sharing particularly. I don't know where we stand quite with Brazil because theoretically, his Fred Winter win makes him look the bet in this race, receiving, what is it, £9 from Field Door, but he hasn't quite backed that up since. And I think it flatters him a little. I think he got a brilliant ride that day. And I think the ride was worth £7 to £10. That might've made the difference between him winning and not.
It was worth.
I think you'll get a guy to off Hugh Briscoe at Cheltenham on Friday, where he to go and win. That'll boost Brazil's form, who is in front of Hugh Briscoe, behind Champ Kylie at Tipperary.
I do like Champ Kylie a lot. I actually put him up on our Cheltenham preview for the bumper, which he was never going to run in, but I liked him a lot when I saw him first time.
You said that Brazil, few pounds that horse won by, or £3 that ride was, saved the bookies a few pounds anyway, that's for sure.
Gaelic Warrior.
A couple of races to look at. The Brown Lad is one of the big-ish 2.5 mile handicap. It's a grade B contest. Now, Cashback's in the race, Ruby, for Willie and Paul. He's a 10-year-old now, but is he still relatively lightly raced for a 10-year-old?
He's not overly raced any at BK, but I absolutely love the top weight here, Meet and Greet, of Oliver McKiernan's. I think he is a very good horse. He was second to Flame Bearer over 2 miles at Naas in February and then went to Punchestown. He was third to the Nice Guy over 3 miles. He's only a 6-year-old. I think this is potentially one of the best handicapped hurdlers in training. I wonder if he'll stay over hurdles. Look, he's not in a big yard. Oliver McKiernan has him. It's not sexy. But I think this is an improving horse. I thought this lad might go to Haydock for the 150 grand 3 mile handicap, something like that. Wouldn't be surprised if he floated around the Portemps. He'd win the Portemps final next March. This is a really good horse, Meet and Greet. Don't know if he's the winner tomorrow, but he's one to definitely keep on your side.
Producer Mark, we have two headlines. Rory has a 7-1 shot going off at 6-4 at Cheltenham. And Ruby Walsh just said that one of the best handicapped horses in training is running at Naas on Saturday. He's so astounded by that remark. Ruby's dropped off the call again. What's the next stop from Kendall, Rory? We'll go through this train journey with
Kendall and Stroud, I think, isn't it?
Oh, Stroud. I mean, well, we can give out about Stroud. It's worse than Slough.
Oh, the Stone. Where's Stonehouse? Stonehouse is either side of Stroud. It might be Stonehouse and then Stroud, or Stroud and then Stonehouse.
Either or, their internet's rubbish.
Named Stonehouse, because all the houses down there that Ruby will be able to see at either side of his train are made out of lovely Cotswold stone. So it's very pretty.
It's not lovely. Get the internet sorted. Couldn't give a damn.
I'm kind of a PK spot as well. This is 2022. Come on, please.
But are there lovely stone houses around, Ruby?
Wouldn't be what I'd call lovely anyway, PK.
Rory, your review has been absolutely...
Where do you think we were?
Stonehouse.
Well, you're Stonehouse. You're stride then Stonehouse.
Okay. Well, you're in for a treat in a few minutes, Ruby, when you get to Stonehouse. Keep the eyes out the window. Before you get to Stonehouse and start looking at those houses, I want to talk about the Poplar Square, the Barbara St. Castle Poplar Square, grade three chase over 2 miles, because Gentleman Demi has got rivals in Curse of Bleam, Jeremy's Flame, Franson, and Gallant Jojo.
Stroud.
We're in Stroud, folks. We're in Stroud, confirmed. Look, Gentleman Demi, Ruby, we spoke about it on the National Season Preview, and he is a horse that you were kind of thinking, where's Willie going to split these 2 milers? It looks a perfect opportunity for him here.
It does, but he has to give £9 to Curse of Bleam, which might not be easy. He chased home Blue Lord at Punchestown. He chased home Fernie Hollow at Punchestown this time last year, well, December last year. And he's a decent horse, Curse of Bleam, but Gentleman to me, he's a lot of work done. This is a stepping stone to the Tingle Creek for him. But I just think this front runner's track, it'll suit him. He's a front runner. Top mark, give him a great ride at Aintree to beat Edward Stone. And he's probably going to take a bit of beating.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. One more to talk about. It's in the bumper. There is a Cool Cherry who carries the same colours, I think, as the one of the first, the Ashrow Diamond. Jody will ride. So as I said, Patrick not riding on Saturday. Second on debut. Should win.
Don't know. She kept going. It'll depend on the opposition. I don't think she's a star. She kept going well, but she got well beaten. I know she can beat that far, nice, stiffer track. Likes to be on the pace. She could win. I'm just not jumping up and down about her.
Okay.
Gardens could be anything. It's one run to point a point, and it's one run in a point a point, and it's one. Gardens could be a winter filly. I think Cool Cherry's more a summer autumn mare.
Fair enough. Right, that's a lovely look ahead to Saturday's racing. Oh, what we now get is your best bets. And I've got a feeling I might know the two of them. I think they'll be running in two different handicap hurdles. But let's find out. Rory, as Ruby pulls out of Stroud, where's your best bet going to be on Saturday?
Well, I am going to go with Unanswered at that, which that mythical 7-1, I'm sure it will be by the time the podcast comes out. But 7-1 at the time of writing. Talking is a massive price for Unanswered. I may end up changing my tune if he's into 5-2 the day before the race. But at this stage, I actually have gone and backed him with a firm who are offering five places. Excuse me for that, but you got to take it where you can. So Unanswered for me in the 3:30 at Cheltenham.
The 3:30 at Cheltenham. I've no doubt Paddy will be offering four at least anyway in that race. Unanswered. It's five, would you believe 5-1 now? We haven't even stopped. So Ruby, were you betting on Unanswered on the train there, were you?
Rory, or PK, I haven't even got the service to stay connected to this Zoom call, let alone have a bet. But look, I know Rory's gone for Unanswered. I'm going to go for meet and greet. And if we lose tomorrow, I have no doubt we'll get it back and meet and greet through the season.
Lovely. Okay, so two very, very well handicapped horses. That's it, folks. I'm logging off. I'm going down to the local shop to have a couple of quid on a couple of handicap hurdlers. Lads, we thank you very much for your look ahead to Saturday. We'll be back tomorrow, as in myself, Frank Hickey and Fran are looking ahead to Sunday, where we will look at both Cheltenham and indeed the action at Navan, I should say. Ruby, enjoy your weekend at Cheltenham and your train journey. Hope it's been pleasant.
Thanks.
the eye rolling from that man. Rory, enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much indeed, PK.